106.6. Okay, that was Babes in Toyland with Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. I'm Dom Robinson, and you're listening to the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. It's a weekly show where we'll look through the week's releases in movies and video games, there's some news, plus the charts, and a look at what's new on TV. And DVDFever.co.uk is a non-profit website and really deserves your attention. And if you've got anything to say about anything you hear on the show, get in touch via the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. And you'll see all the trailers for all the films and video games footage on there as well. And before I get into the meat of the show, as mentioned, we've got an event coming up, which is Failsworth and the Mayor and Foal come together for the people of Shaw. It's on Saturday, August 25th at 2012, we're in 2012, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So I'll mention it again nearer to the time. But weather permitting, this is an outside event where, once again, Failsworth comes together as a close-knit community to raise funds for the people of Shaw after the devastating blast that has wrecked lives and homes. Local bands confirmed up to now are Free Runner, Dead Seas and DJ Kaz Matthews, as heard on this very radio station. It's a free event, but donations are required for the people of Shaw. So join in the Mayor and Foal in Failsworth, and please dig deep, because every little helps. The Mayor and Foal is number 74 Ashton Road West in Failsworth, M35. Okay, so on to this week's show, and the first hour is all about films, and we're going to start off with a review of Iron Sky, where the Nazis return on Blu-ray. Then we have the top 10 movie charts, then look at some new cinema releases out this Friday, including Spider-Man, which is actually out today, The Hunter, and a re-release of Total Recall. There's some new Blu-ray and DVDs out this week, including John Carter and a Doctor Who classic with Patrick Troughton. So we start with a review of Iron Sky. Now, the Second World War was a long and arduous time for the whole world back between 1939 and 1945, and it's all about to happen again. The year is 2018, and the Nazis are still alive and are living on the dark side of the moon, and they're now planning to take over the Earth once again. Iron Sky begins with two astronauts touching down on the moon for the first successful landing in many decades, and as they begin to explore the surface, one walks too far and discovers a huge crater containing a secret underground facility. But before he can take it all in, a Nazi pops up in a gas mask and plants a bullet in his head. That leaves James Washington, Christopher Kirby, as the only, and also the first black astronaut, left on the moon. Naturally, he's captured and taken to the man who wants to be the new Führer, Klaus Adler, played by Götz Otto, who in turn is in a relationship with schoolteacher René Richter, played by French hottie Julia Dietzer. Yes, a French woman playing a German one, even though she has a German surname. Confused? You won't be until after this week's episode of Soap. Okay. So anyway, having captured Washington, they use his mobile phone to combine with their very outdated technology to perfect a weapon against the Earth. Yes, a mobile phone is going to defeat the Earth completely. Or rather it would do if it didn't run out of power. Hence, Klaus Adler assumes command, going above the head of the current Führer, Wolfgang Kurzfleisch, played by Udo Kier, and heads for our blue-green planet, with a view to get more mobiles, and inadvertently end up taking over the campaign to get President Stephanie Paul, well, the President, played by Stephanie Paul, who's doing a very good turn in like a Sarah Palin kind of character, re-elected. Now, a couple of observations about Iron Sky. 17 minutes in, as the female President's campaign is going down the pan, and her campaign manager, Vivian Wagner, Peter Sargent, needs to scream out loud, we get a spoof of the famous scene in Downfall, which is also spoofed in a zillion YouTube memes. There's also a great line from the trailer, which is brilliant here, but sadly due to dodgy editing, it loses its impact in the film proper. Now, I've got a sort of, I can't swear at this time of the day anyway, but I'll say damn, it's a different word. Anyway, basically, after the President is informed that the baddies are Nazis, and that they're from the moon, she says in a well-framed moment in the trailer, damn, this just keeps getting better and better. But in the film, she says those words while a befuddled Secretary of Defense looks on, thus completely ruining the impact of a great line. Now, the cast all do a decent job, with Wagner's outfits getting more and more outlandish as the film continues, but overall, while Iron Sky is a movie with one of my favourite trailers of the year, and it has a fantastic premise, it's one which sadly doesn't pan out as far as you'd like. It's also one of those films which came out in the cinema on a Friday and went straight to Blu-ray and DVD the following Monday. Having watched it, I can see why. It passes 90 minutes, but that's about it. Presented in the original 2.35:1 widescreen ratio, the picture is sharp and detailed and does great justice to the immense amount of CGI on view. And audio-wise, the film is presented in DTS 5.1 HD Master Audio and does a decent job of gunfire and special effects, etc., without being any kind of a demo disc. The extras was a making of, 16.5 minutes long, which is lots of on-set work in progress footage prior to the CGI being added in. There's a large selection of scenes, so that's worth a watch for those who really enjoyed the film. There's promos, which is 5 short clips of the film, around about 2 minutes each. Not quite sure what these are for, really, because I'd rather have deleted scenes if we're going to have something. There's also a photo gallery, about 4 minutes long, which is nicely detailed images set to atmospheric music. And a 2-minute trailer, which, well, it does what it says on the tin, but the one they've got here is not a patch on the main trailer for the film I've seen. Now, unfortunately, the presentation of the disc really leaves a lot to be desired. The main menu is fine, with the film's incidental music playing over some clips, but there are no subtitles, bar English ones, during German dialogue. And the worst number I've ever seen of chapters on a disc was just 10. Just 10 chapters over a 90-minute film. Although a lot of companies just have like 12 over any length of film, whether it's, you know, 80 minutes or 3 hours. It's just, I don't know why they stick with 12. It's not like they're paying by the chapter. By the way, it's a bit of a bugbear of mine. I always go on the rule of thumb when I make my own DVDs of stuff off the TV, not off films, obviously. About one chapter every 5 minutes, thereabouts, with one also for the opening and closing credits. Also, on this disc, anyway, there's barely any extras. So, for the film, possibly worth a look, but I'll give it 6 out of 10, worth a rental at least. Picture, 10, it looks superb. Sound, 8. Extras, 2. Overall, 6 out of 10, so definitely worth a rental. Okay, so before the top 10 movie charts, we're going to have a bit of music. Now, I've gone with a song that's well placed with the current continuing banking crisis that we're in, as it features the line, "All the bankers getting sweaty beneath their white collars as a pound in our pocket turns into a dollar." That said, I thought the pound was getting stronger now. Either way, prices have shot up, so it's as much as makes a difference. The song is Thuther and Heartland, or as Bob Holness once called them on Blockbusters, The Thee. No, Bob. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, so you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6, and that was Thuther with Heartland. And no, it didn't jump towards the end. I wasn't playing it off a bad LP. That is actually how the song ends. Okay, so the top 10 movie charts now, as I've said many times before, I'll go through the US movie charts here. Pretty much, they're just much more interesting. Anyway, number one, it's gone straight in at the top slot, with $66.7 million in its opening week, for Brave. I've included 2 trailers for this. There's also like, I think one of them's a teaser trailer, and the other one's like a trailer proper. But anyway, determined to make her own path in life, Princess Merida defies a custom that brings chaos to her kingdom, and granted one wish, she must rely on her bravery and her archery skills to undo a beastly curse. Starring Kelly MacDonald, Billy Connolly, Emma Thompson, Julie Walters and Robbie Coltrane, this is basically another all-CGI film for kids, which I will be giving a big miss to, unsurprisingly. That leads us on to number 2, which is dropped from the top slot for Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. Well, it's not wanted from me. Alex, Marty, Gloria and Melman are still trying to get back to the Big Apple and their beloved Central Park Zoo, but first they need to find the penguins. When they travel to Monte Carlo, they attract the attention of animal control after gatecrashing a party, and are joined by the penguins, with King Julian and co, and the monkeys, and also a new rival, a performing llama. How do a lion, a zebra, a hippo, a giraffe, 4 penguins, 2 monkeys, 3 lemurs and a llama travel through Europe without attracting attention? They join a travelling circus. Genius. Not. Starring Ben Stiller, Chris Rock, David Schwimmer, Jada Pinkett Smith, Sacha Baron Cohen, Frances McDormand, Jessica Chastain, Bryan Cranston and Martin Short, it's, well, as you've guessed it, it's another CGI film, so I'm not going to be giving it a wide berth, if anything. At number three, it's first week out for Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which took $16.5 million in its opening week. Abraham Lincoln, the 16th President of the United States, discovers vampires, discovers that they're planning to take over the United States, and he makes it his mission to eliminate them. Explore the secret life of America's greatest president and the untold story that shaped their nation. He discovers the bloodthirsty vampires are planning to take over the states, and just basically he wants to become the history's greatest hunter of the undead. Now, with Benjamin Walker as Abraham Lincoln, plus Dominic Cooper, Anthony Mackie, Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and Rufus Sewell, excuse me. The trailer does look amusing, but this hasn't had any good reviews, and it just makes me think, why Abraham Lincoln? Okay, so it can go for the period setting, but to me that seems about the only reason. So, I'm not going to be seeing it. And number four, it's Prometheus, and I covered that last week, so if you've not heard that review, have a listen to last week's podcast. Just go to dvdfever.co.uk and click on the podcast link. And I loved it. It's yes, it's an alien prequel, but it's sort of not quite an alien prequel, but I can't go into detail without spoiling it. And it's just, I saw it in IMAX, which was just bloody amazing. So if you can see it in IMAX, go see it. Although, you tend to find this week, well, by the time this is out, by the time Spider-Man comes out, which I'll be mentioning a bit later on, Spider-Man's taking up all the IMAX screens. So, but if you can still see Prometheus in IMAX, do go and see it. It's quite a treat. Well, I was going to say, the film's not perfect itself, but it's still brilliant. Number five, we've got Snow White and the Huntsman, which features Kristen Stewart as a 12-year-old boy. Snow White. Also with Chris Hemsworth as the Huntsman, plus Charlize Theron, Ian McShane, Bob Hoskins, Ray Winston, Nick Frost, Eddie Marsden, and also Toby Jones. But the trailer just sent me into a coma quicker than eating a poison apple. I just got a bit... There's too much bloody Snow White on at the moment. There was that Mirror, two or three months back. And also something on Channel 5, which is for girls, clearly. No thanks. Number six, we've got Rock of Ages with... forgot his name for a minute. Tom Cruise is now split from... what's her name? Katie Holmes. She's single, boys. Go get her. Rock of Ages, well... I saw the trailer and it just didn't really grab me. Yeah, I mean, Tom Cruise usually puts out all the stops to do something different, but this just I don't know. I'm not a big fan of musicals anyway, and this is just nah, not for me. And it did pretty badly for an opening week anyway. I can't remember what it got now, but it gained a fraction of the $75 million it cost to make. Elsewhere, at number seven, we have That's My Boy, which took $13.5 million in the opening week. And while still in his teens, Donnie, Adam Sandler, great, fathered a son called Todd, played by Andy Samberg. And he raised him as a single parent up until Todd's 18th birthday. Now, after not seeing each other for years, Todd's world comes crashing down on the eve of his wedding when an uninvited Donnie suddenly shows up. Trying desperately to reconnect with his son, Donnie is now forced to deal with the repercussions of his bad parenting skills. Also starring Mary Elizabeth Winstead, this looks like any other Adam Sandler film, but with lots of added F-words. So, while it's interesting to see them used in a trailer, because they hardly ever do, I'll still pass. No thanks. Number 8, we have Avengers Assemble. Number 9, we have Men in Black 3. And number 10, we've got Seeking a Friend for the End of the World, which in its opening week has taken $3.84 million. Now, as an asteroid nears Earth, a man finds himself alone after his wife leaves in a panic. He decides to take a road trip to reunite with his high school sweetheart. Accompanying him is a neighbour who inadvertently puts a wrench in his plan. Now, starring Steve Carell, Keira Knightley and Melanie Lynskey, this certainly looks well worth a watch, and it's a shame it's done so badly in its opening week. But it has a lot of competition. Still, I'm fascinated by end-of-the-world films anyway, and despite the romance in there between Carell and Kiera, this actually does look worth a watch. Okay, so that's the top 10 movies for this week. I'm going to have a bit of music before we go into the new cinema releases out this Friday. So it's 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, and in this section we'll have a look at the new cinema releases out this Friday. Although the first one I'm going to talk about is actually out today, and it's The Amazing Spider-Man. Now, like most teenagers, Peter Parker is trying to figure out who he is and how he got to be the person he is today. He's also finding his way with his first high school crush, Gwen Stacy, Emma Stone, and together they struggle with love, commitment and secrets. He's got plenty. As Peter discovers a mysterious briefcase that belonged to his father, he begins a quest to understand his parents' disappearance, leading him directly to Oscorp and the lab of Dr. Kurt Connors, played by Reese Fans, his father's former partner. Now, as Spider-Man is set on a collision course with Connors' alter ego, the Lizard, Peter will make life-altering choices to use his powers and shape his destiny to become a hero. With Andrew Garfield in the lead role, although the concept doesn't wow me and it feels far too soon for a reboot after the three films with Tobey Maguire, I was well impressed with the IMAX effect for Prometheus, the first film I saw in this format, so I may well check this one out too. And as I say, it's out today, unlike everything else out, which is out on Friday. Also out this week we have The Hunter. Now Martin, a mercenary, is sent from Europe by a mysterious biotech company to the Tasmanian wilderness on a hunt for the last Tasmanian tiger. Starring Francis O'Connor, Willem Dafoe, Sam Neill and Morgana Davis, the trailer was all big noises and fast cutting, but the plot just seems completely absent, and it's like the trailer is trying to convey a sense of danger that just isn't there. I really don't get this one at all, and as such I can't recommend it. Next up we have Ping Pong, which is a documentary. Now, Les Darcy is a living legend. At 89 years old, he's obviously not received the memo about slowing down, and he's going for gold, literally. He's headed to China to compete in the over-80s table tennis championships in Inner Mongolia. A seven-time world champion, he still lifts weights to train, something he's been doing for decades after surviving a sickly childhood. Of course, compared to some, Les is a spring chicken. Australian legend Dorothy DeLow, is 100 and finds herself a mega celebrity in this rarefied world. She'd better watch out though, because Texan Lisa Modlik is 15 years her junior and is determined to do what it takes to win her first gold. Director Hugh Hartford follows 8 players from five countries as they prepare to compete in this extraordinary sporting event that is as much about the tenacity of the human spirit as it is about taking home the title. Now the tagline for the film is 8 players, 4 continents, 703 years between them. And watching the 4-minute trailer for it, it's fascinating stuff. I doubt I'll go and see this one in the cinema, but I can't wait for it to come out in Blu-ray. That really does look well worth a watch. Also this Friday we have The Women on the Sixth Floor. Now Paris in the early 60s, we see Jean-Louis Joubert is a serious but uptight stockbroker, married to Suzanne, a starchy, class-conscious woman and father of 2 arrogant teenage boys, currently in a boarding school. The affluent man lives a steady yet boring life, at least until, due to fortuitous circumstances, Maria, the charming new maid at the service of Jean-Louis' family, makes him discover the servant's quarter on the sixth floor of the luxury building he owns and lives in. There live a crowd of lively Spanish maids who will help Jean-Louis to open a new civilization, or to open to a new civilization and a new approach of life. In their company, and more precisely in the company of the beautiful Maria, Jean-Louis will gradually become another man. A better man. Now from the trailer, this does look like it has a certain charm, but something about it that just doesn't particularly stand out. It's possibly worth a watch, though. And finally, out this week, we have a Total Recall, which for this is a re-release of the original 1990 film. Now Douglas Quaid, Arnold Schwarzenegger, is haunted by a recurring dream about a journey to Mars. He hopes to find out more about this dream and buys a holiday at Recall Incorporated, where they sell implanted memories. But something goes wrong with the memory implantation, and he remembers about being a secret agent fighting against the evil Mars administrator, Cohagen, Ronnie Cox. Also starring Rachel Ticotin, Sharon Stone and Michael Ironside, I've always thought this was a very overhyped film. It's good in parts, but it's just plodding and stupid in others. And it looked dated at the time, never mind 20 years on. Although the opening head moment was always impressive, even today. And this comes a few weeks ahead of the remake starring Colin Farrell, which is out on August 29th, and I've added a trailer for this to the Facebook page as well, which shows a film full of special effects and clever stunts, but I'm sure they could have put that to use in an original plot. So, I don't know. I don't need to see the original again on the big screen. Do I see the remake? Probably not. Anyway, with that, we'll have a bit of music before we bring you a roundup of the new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson. And in this section, we're going to have a look at some new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week, starting with Falling Skies Season 1. Now, Falling Skies tells the story of the aftermath of a global invasion by extraterrestrials, including the insectoid, multi-legged beings known as Skitters, a race of humanoid, grey-skinned beings that seem to be their commanders, and mechanical attack drones known as mechs. They neutralise the world's power grid and... The extraterrestrials neutralise the world's power grid and technology, destroy the combined militaries of all the world's countries, and also kill over 90% of the human population, all within a few days. Now, the invasion and the aliens' objectives are not explained, although the aliens try to round up children between the ages of 8 and 18 and attach a biomechanical obedience device onto and into their spines, often referred to as a harness. The harness controls a child's mind, and forcibly removing it instantly kills the child. The story picks up 6 months after the invasion and follows a group of survivors who band together to fight back. The group, known as the 2nd Massachusetts, an allusion to a historical regiment for the Continental Army, is led by retired Captain Weaver and Boston University history professor Tom Mason, who, while in search of his son Ben, must put his extensive knowledge of military history into practice as one of the leaders of the resistance movement. Excuse me. I've not seen Falling Skies. I know season 2 has just started recently, but my sister's a big fan of this. It's the kind of thing she's into. It's not really my bag. It's got Noah Wyle from ER, who's always worth a watch, but I don't know. I don't really go into this kind of alien business like that. So, well, I said I'm going for aliens. I love Prometheus, but this just kind of I don't know. I think it's this kind of thing we've had far too often before. Also this week we have John Carter, who obviously Noah Wyle played him in ER, but this is a different John Carter. This is a John Carter based on the Edgar Rice Burroughs classic novel, where this John Carter is a war-weary former military captain who's inexplicably transported to Mars and reluctantly becomes embroiled in an epic conflict. When I saw this at the cinema, it was one of the maddest films I've ever seen. It just seemed to make it up as it went along, and it wasn't particularly good, with no one particularly pushing the boat out in the acting stakes. But it's still nice to see a film shot in anamorphic Panavision, as so few are made in this way these days. The majority of what they call CinemaScope films are made in a format called Super 35, which, to simplify things, looks like shooting in 16:9 and then just stick black bars over the top and bottom. So there's no sense of purpose in making it that way, apart from the fact it's probably cheaper. Filming in Panavision gives it a certain sense of style, usually with a slightly convex look to the landscape. The only other film which I've seen recently, which springs to mind and which uses this, is We Need to Talk About Kevin. There's also Salmon Fishing in the Yemen, which I've not seen yet, though. But yeah, I'd like to see that. Special features, if you really want to buy this, there's 360 Degrees of John Carter, 100 Years in the Making. Felt like it lasted 100 years in the cinema. Deleted scenes with optional commentary by director Andrew Stanton, some Barsoom bloopers, and audio commentary by director Andrew Stanton and producers Jim Morris and Lindsay Collins. And also this week we have This Means War. By the way, all the trailers, just go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. Now, Chris Pine from Star Trek and Tom Hardy from The Dark Knight Rises co-star with Oscar winner Reese Witherspoon for Walk the Line, and this fast-paced mix of explosive action and laugh-out-loud comedy, it says here. FDR and Tuck both fall for the charming and lovely Lauren Witherspoon, as she struggles to choose between them, with help from her sassy friend Trish, played by Chelsea Handler. FDR and Tuck wage an epic battle for Lauren's affection. Using their surveillance skills and an array of high-tech gadgetry, may the best spy win. However, I don't think the audience are going to win, because when I saw the trailer, it just looked dreadful, so I'd avoid this if I were you. If you do want to buy it, there's a fair few special features. There's an extended feature, if you really want to see more, an audio commentary from director McGee, a bachelorette party, deleted scenes with optional commentary, alternate endings with optional commentary, a gag reel, an alternate opening concept with optional commentary, and a theatrical trailer. Okay, so, well, that's some of the DVDs and Blu-rays out this week, and have a bit of music, and then we'll have some more of these. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson, for the last section of the first hour. I'm continuing our look at new Blu-rays and DVDs out this week. First of all, with the DVD of Doctor Who, The Crotons. Now, when the TARDIS arrives on the planet of the Gons, the Doctor, Jamie and Zoe discover a world ruled and enslaved by the Crotons. The brightest Gons are always chosen to serve as companions of the Crotons and are never seen again. The Doctor and his companions decide to put a stop to their rule, but in doing so, inadvertently unleash the true power and terror of the Crotons instead. The special features is commentary with actors Philip Maddock, Richard Irison and Gilbert Wynne, plus also assistant floor manager David Tilley, makeup designer Sylvia James, costume designer Bobby Bartlett, and special sounds designer Brian Hodgson's, and it's moderated by Toby Hadoki. It's also second time around, faced with William Hartnell's deteriorating health, but with a popular TV programme on their hands, the Doctor Who production team hit on the idea of regenerating the show's hero. And this documentary looks back over Patrick Troughton's tenure as the Second Doctor. It's also Doctor Who Stories with Fraser Hines, who reminisces about his time on the series in an interview originally recorded in 2003 for the BBC's Story of Doctor Who. Then there's The Doctor's Strange Love, where writers Joseph Lidster and Simon Gurrier take an affectionate look at the Crotons. There's Radio Times listing in DVD-ROM format, programme subtitles, production information subtitles, photo gallery, coming soon trailer, and also digitally remastered picture and sound quality. And this story was originally broadcast on BBC One between the 28th of December 1968 and the 18th of January 1969. Also out this week is Hit and Miss Season 1. Now Mia is a contract killer with a secret. She's a transgender woman. After a young life where she never quite fitted in, Eddie, an underworld linchpin, took Mia under his wing and created a brilliant assassin. But Mia's life is turned upside down when she receives a letter from her ex, Wendy, who reveals that she's dying from cancer, and that when they were together, Mia fathered a son, 11-year-old Ryan. Now Mia is his legal guardian. Travelling to a tiny village in West Yorkshire to see the boy, Mia meets the rest of Wendy's farmhouse clan, 16-year-old Riley, 15-year-old Levi, and 6-year-old Leone. Hit and Miss follows Mia's attempts, to mix her killer instincts with the new maternal ones in a search for her own identity. A lethal killer at the heart of a troubled family in the middle of nowhere is where the series begins. I'm not seeing this. I've not really heard much about it, but I know it's got Chloe Savini as Mia, the contract killer. Well, she's got that sort of androgynous look, I guess, but I don't know, it's just... I don't know, it doesn't really quite grab me, to be honest. What does, however, is Adrian Mole, the complete series. Just my luck. We're in the middle of a national crisis and my nose has swollen up repulsively. So says Adrian Mole. Adapted from Sue Townsend's best-selling novels, as were the... There was also a ZX Spectrum computer game which came out around the same time. I really enjoyed that. These hit series chronicle the everyday traumas and emotional upheavals of the legendary teenage diarist as he struggles to come to terms with his life in the 1980s. Jan Samarco is the angst-ridden scribbler with literary aspirations, with Julie Walters and Lulu successfully portraying his mother. Beryl Reed is opinionated grandma, Stephen Moore is errant father, and Bill Fraser his elderly chum, Bert Baxter. Adrian certainly has much to contend with, spots erupting on his chin, Good Samaritan visits to an OAP who's even more obnoxious than his dog, Barry the school bully and his extortion rackets, and warring parents forever on the brink of divorce, and Pandora, the capricious love of his young life. Now, I never had a girlfriend at the time that Adrian moulded, but I still felt the pangs of youth he went through when you just don't know what a girl is thinking. 30 years on, I still don't know what women are thinking. I haven't got a clue. They should really come with a manual. Still, either way, this is an essential DVD purchase for any fan of the series. Some other things out this week. There's, in terms of new movies and main releases, there's a Batman Begins and the Dark Knight limited edition Steelbook on Blu-ray. There's Clean Skin with Sean Bean. Exit Humanity, which is came out in the cinema last week, and I think I got bored silly with the trailer halfway through. There's Hell, Icequake, Jack and Jill with Adam Sandler, Margaret with Anna Paquin and Matt Damon, The Message, Project X in an extended cut, Requiem for a Killer, The Twilight Saga quad pack. Who's going to buy that? It's like there's going to be five films in total, and they've released a box set of all of the first four. You know, anyway, any fan is going to wait for the complete box set, basically. Same when they brought out Harry Potter, sort of years 1 to 7, part one. No one's going to buy that. They're going to wait for just the one last film just to finish it off. Idiots. Also, The Virgin Queen from 1955, and the Woody Allen 20-film collection, which is only £38 on Amazon. Some TV series. There's one I've got to get hold of, which I loved it when it first came out. Automan, the complete series. Automan, he had this thing called a cursor, which was basically, he could draw anything he wanted. Like, he would draw him his favourite car, and he would just, like, drive that about. And I dreamt I got one of these cursors for Christmas. And then I think I lost it, and I was devastated. But, that's the hold it had on me. Duran Duran, A Diamond in the Mind. Painkiller Jane, the complete series. Sanctuary Season 4. Saved by the Bell, the complete series. South Park Season 15. Spring and Autumn Series 2. And Welcome to the Space Show. And also some Blu-ray premieres. We've got Airport, Barton Fink, Castaway, Mallrats, Sea of Love, The Lion of the Desert, and Zoolander. Okay, so coming up in the second hour, we've got a mixture of video games and TV, starting with the top 10 games charts. But to take us up to the top of the hour, I think we'll have a bit of Liza Minnelli, and it's I Want You Now. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Tenacious D with Tribute, which obviously is not the best song in the world. It is bloody good. In this second hour, the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6, we have a look at video games and TV, starting with a look at the top 10 games charts. Then we'll have a look at some new video games releases out this Friday, plus some video games news. Then also going to have a look back some TV in the past weeks with Line of Duty and Gordon Behind Bars, and also look ahead to some more programmes coming up. So we have a look at, starting with the top 10 games charts, obviously with number one. And starting with Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes. That Lego gets everywhere. Probably that's why you can never find it. Number 2, FIFA 12. Number 3, Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Future Soldier. Number 4, Max Payne 3. Number 5, Battlefield 3. It's all the threes. Number 6, Lollipop Chainsaw. Number 7, Mario and Sonic at the London 2012 Olympics. Number 8, The Elder Scrolls 5 Skyrim. Number 9, Sniper Elite V2. Number 10, FIFA Street. Only one new entry in the top 40 this week is. And number 16, we've got Civilization 5, Gods and Kings. And a couple of re-entries, 24, Need for Speed the Run. And number 34, Lego Harry Potter, years 5 to 7. Okay, short but sweet. We'll have a bit of music, and then we'll have a look at the new video games releases out this Friday. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And this section, we'll have a look at some new video games releases out this Friday. And there's not a great deal out, to be honest, but we'll have a look at the first one, which is Dead Island Game of the Year Edition on PS3 and Xbox 360. And I put trailers for all these games on the Facebook page. Go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. Now, Terror, Violence, Madness, and Bedlam. A holiday paradise gone mad. A tropical island turns into total chaos after a mysterious zombie outbreak. Cut off from the rest of the world, the player's only chance of survival is to fight to the death and find a way to escape from the island. Dead Island combines first-person action with a heavy focus on melee combat, plus character development and customization of a vast array of weapons. All of these gameplay features are presented in a dark story inspired by classic zombie movies, with a gritty and engrossing campaign that can be played with up to 4 players in co-op mode. And this edition also includes the Bloodbath Arena, Rider White, and the Ripon, a weapon blueprint. Now, I haven't played this game before, but I don't know, I've just seen it's in the footage. I just don't know how many more zombie games we need. It just all looks much of a muchness. Also out this week, we have Beat the Beat, Rhythm Paradise on the Wii. And from playing golf with Mandrill to controlling a flower pot punching karate man, everything has to be done in time to the beat to win. Try not to let the craziness occurring on screen distract you from the music, because it is keeping with the rhythm that counts. If you do stop to look at what's going on, then you won't be disappointed, as each of the 50 rhythm games has their own short story featuring the classic Rhythm Paradise humour, and in a European exclusive, fans will be able to switch between the Japanese and the English soundtracks covering many musical styles. Be careful not to miss a beat. Losing the rhythm in Beat the Beat Rhythm Paradise means you lose the game. But don't worry, the controls are really easy to pick up. Just press the A button, or the A button and B button together, and half the fun is learning how to master each situation. And while the action is just as challenging as fans of the series would expect, beginners won't be stuck for long thanks to the new feature that allows you to check the correct performance of the song to help you master the required rhythm. Some games can be played in co-op mode, so why not invite a friend to play with you? The aim is to play together and master the different rhythms. The more compatible you are, the higher your score. If you're feeling particularly competitive, then why not challenge your friend to play one of the endless duel games? The fun doesn't stop with the action, but becomes progressively harder as you go on. A real test of your rhythm skills. Story of my life, that. Anyway, I've put a clip of this on the Facebook page, and I simply haven't got the first idea what's going on this. I thought it was going to be like Parappa the Rapper, but it's just weird. It's not anything like that. Well, slightly in terms of the style, yes, but I couldn't see what you were doing to match the beat, basically. Yeah, watch the footage anyway, and then make your own mind up. Post on the Facebook page and just tell me what you think. And also this Friday we have Anarchy Reigns on the PS3 and Xbox 360. And this is the third-person multiplayer brawler from critically acclaimed developer Platinum Games, set in a world where anarchy is king. With Anarchy Reigns, Platinum Games will be using their hallmark creativity and technical excellence to challenge the boundaries of the conventional brawler genre by allowing multiple players to get involved in heavy-hitting action simultaneously. Anarchy Reigns incorporates a diverse range of multiplayer modes to provide players with the different challenges, including tag team battles and battle royale, where players can challenge others in a full-on fight for victory. As for the gameplay, run about, punch people as they all gang up on you, run about some more. Jeez, this game looks like it's been done to death a million times. Talk about derivative. Not good. Not good. Okay, so that's the new releases out this Friday. We're going to have a bit of music, and then I'm going to be back with this week's Video Games News. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, you're back with the DVD Fever Show with me, Dom Robinson, on North Manchester FM 106.6. And this section, we're going to have a look at some video games news. And starting with the news that Ubisoft have announced the Expendables 2 video game for release this summer. The game will let up to 4 players join in cooperatively, either locally or online, for an action-packed experience to rescue a kidnapped billionaire. When the operation goes sour, the adventure will take players from Somali deserts to Burmese jungles, both on land and in a variety of vehicles. Players will be able to choose between 4 of the film's action stars, including Sylvester Stallone, Dolph Lundgren, Terry Crews, and Jet Li's characters. Though no exact release date was given, the game is planned for this summer to coincide with the action movie, which features returning cast members Stallone, Jason Statham, Lee, and Bruce Willis, along with franchise newcomers Liam Hemsworth and Chuck Norris. The Expendables 2 video game will be available to download on Xbox Live Arcade, PlayStation Network, and PC. So it's not going to be a full proper game. It seems a bit of a waste, but I don't know. It's not convinced. I mean, the first film itself was a bit of a disaster. Had a fantastic opening, 10 minutes. So basically, the last half hour was really good. In between, it was just a load of guff. I mean, why they should not let Stallone direct anything ever again. It just ruins it. There's also the news that the upcoming Tomb Raider reboot will spawn sequels, according to Crystal Dynamics. When asked about the possibility of a follow-up, Crystal Dynamics' Carl Stewart revealed that the upcoming release wouldn't be just one game. He said, I have to be careful because I know exactly where she's going. You have to look at the future. You have to look at where. It's not just one game. At the end of this game, we want her to be that strong female character that is willing to go and seek out mysteries and seek out tombs. She's going to be going to plenty of tombs in this game, but we're going to be having somebody who wants to go out on that adventure, who wants to be the person that she is now. That's the goal. Last week it was revealed that English actress Camilla Luddington would voice Lara Croft in the upcoming reboot. She's best known for playing Kate Middleton in William and Kate, as well as roles in Californication and the next series of True Blood. The game was recently embroiled in a controversy over an apparent rape attempt scene, although that was quickly dispelled by the fact that it doesn't. So, yeah, there you go. Now you know. Also the news that the Wii U will be reasonably priced at launch, Nintendo has promised. Nintendo CEO Satoru Iwata told an interviewer that the company had learned from the mistakes made during the launch of the 3DS. He said, "We won't make the same mistake that we did with the 3DS, which was considered relatively high by consumers." And that was comments that echo an interview from the Nintendo boss last year. It is believed that the break-even price of the console is 30,000 yen, which works out at roughly £240. The news comes on the same day that Amazon Germany lowered the Wii U pre-order price to approximately £280. The same date is given for launch titles Zombie U and Rayman Legends, both of which are priced at €70, approximately £56. The console has been rumoured for a November release, through both Ubisoft at the E3 Gaming Expo and Elite Black Ops 2 listing. Okay, so that's all the video games news for this week. And in a moment, I will have some, well, look at the TV programmes watching the past week. But I'm going to go for one of my guilty pleasures. And this is going to be, I love it. I can't get enough of this particular song. But it's the kind of thing that most people hate. So prepare to stick your fingers in your ears. It's Steel Ice Band and All Around My Hat. This is 106.6.
106.6.
Okay, that was Steel Ice Band with All Around My Hat. And in this section, we're going to have a look at some TV programmes watched in the past week. I'm going to start with Line of Duty, which is on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock on BBC Two. It's a drama series, and when Steve Arnott and Martin Compson is transferred to a police anti-corruption unit, he finds his target is the city's top detective, Tony Gates. Can Gates really be as good as he appears? Arnott must engage in a cat-and-mouse struggle to uncover Gates' secret. It stars Lenny James, Martin Compson, Vicky McClure, Gina McKee, Neil Morrissey and Adrian Dunbar. Now, as the programme began, we saw police storm a flat where they think a man is armed. They burst the door open and fire, shooting the man in the head. As the aftermath sets in, they realise the man was holding a baby, who turned out unharmed, since they mistook the baby sling for a bomb harness. And also, this storm number 59 instead of number 56, thanks to the door number hanging off. So, this storm number 56, but it's empty. An anti-corruption cop, D.S. Arnott, can see a load of Arabic writing on the wall. The chief wants to cover up the whole thing by saying the man went for them, but Martin doesn't want to lie, or the Steve Arnott, rather, doesn't want to lie for the inquest, and so he's transferred to another division. Meanwhile, Jackie Laverty, Gina McKee, accidentally kills a man when she runs him over, while her other half, Tony, Lenny James, advises her to confess to the police, as to try and hide it would be even more difficult to deal with. Tony says if she does that, he'll keep an eye on it. Jackie claims instead that the car has been stolen and that someone broke into a house. Dull. Elsewhere, Tony has been given a yellow notice because he failed to declare a gratuity of a free breakfast from a cafe after he arrested a mugger outside the place. Arnott wants to help Tony get Sergeant Hastings, Adrian Dunbar, off his back, but Tony tells him that Hastings is racist, and really he falsely accuses Arnott of ganging up against him because Tony is then accused of laddering, which is making up multiple charges which he can clear up and boost his conviction rates with. Hastings tells him that he can't be accused of discrimination as, back in Ireland, one of his colleagues was killed and not a word was said. Elsewhere we saw Dot, Craig Parkinson, leave a surveillance operation when they expect the next shift within 10 minutes. The next morning, forensics are all over one particular house because two men are found dead and have had all their fingers amputated while they were still alive. You could see it coming a mile off, to be honest, that something was, you know, bad was going to happen. As soon as anyone says, right, let's go, because, you know, they're going to be covered again in the next 10 minutes, something, you know, major bad is going to happen in the meantime. Overall, low line of duty. It's gripping stuff, even if it was mostly just everyone being angry with everyone else. So I'm definitely going to tune in for more. That's 9 o'clock tonight on BBC Two and also BBC HD. Also on Tuesdays at 9 o'clock on Channel 4 this time, is Gordon Behind Bars. Gordon Ramsay thinks it's time Britain's prisoners paid their way. There are 88,000 of them in the UK, and it costs the taxpayer £38,000 to keep each one locked up for a year. Gordon's given himself 6 months to set up a successful food business behind bars. His aim? To get prisoners cooking food on the inside, to sell on the outside. He arrives at Brixton Prison in South London, a Category B Victorian jail, packed with drug dealers, burglars, muggers and thieves, some very unsavoury characters. First, Gordon needs to pick 12 men for his Bad Boys Brigade business, but none of them can even scramble an egg. Well, conversely, compared to Line of Duty, this one wasn't at all gripping, especially when Gordon kept referring to them as bad boys. We saw Lawrence, one of the 12, walk out, causing dissent in the ranks, and Gordon declares them all as a bunch of babies when their routine is altered by him coming in. Apart from that, it was rubbish. I love Hell's Kitchen USA, I'll be mentioning that in the next section, but this Gordon Behind Bars, it was just... He got them making fairy cakes, and they all looked embarrassed, and that was boring. And then, you know, it's just... We've had Jimmy Doherty doing, making his food and trying to get that to sell in Tesco, and that was interesting. But this, it's just, I can't see any point to it. Gordon goes into prison, he's not going to get locked away in there, you know, possibly sadly. But it's just a bit, there's nothing to it at all. I can't recommend this. There's three more episodes if you really want to watch any more, but if you do, you'll be missing Line of Duty on BBC Two. Okay, so that's the programmes watching the past week, and have a bit of music, and then we'll have a look ahead. Some more programmes coming up in the next week. This is 106.6. 106.6. Okay, you're back for the last section of the DVD Fever Show with me, Don Robinson. And this section, we'll have a look at some programmes coming up in the coming week. Starting with Embarrassing Bodies Live from the Clinic, which is on Channel 4 tonight at 8 o'clock. And it's the last episode of this current series, and it has been very interesting. But they do, I've mentioned this before, they do spend far too long telling you how you can get an appointment on the show rather than actually seeing patients, which is really annoying. Also on this week is Imagine, which is on tonight at BBC One, 10:35. It's 90 minutes long, and it's Paul Simon's Graceland, Under African Skies. Paul Simon's Graceland album is one of his greatest achievements, a brilliant fusion of African rhythms and Western pop, which became a global phenomenon. It also proved hugely controversial, as Simon broke the UN-backed cultural boycott of a country still under the grip of apartheid. Joe Berlinger's film captures Simon's return to Africa, to South Africa rather, 25 years on, and contrasts the value of individual artistic expression versus collective political action as instruments of change. Did Paul Simon's unique collaboration with South Africa's township musicians set back the clock of South African liberation or drive it forward? Now, I like the idea of a documentary about all this, but I don't really think it needs to last 90 minutes. An hour for this kind of thing, fine, but 90 minutes is a bit too long for me. Also, there's a repeat of Four Rooms Series 1, which is on Channel 4 every day, every weekday rather, at 10 o'clock, and on 4-7 at 12 o'clock midday, which I'll come to in a bit. That's obviously from Wednesday onwards, but I'll say I'll tell you a bit more about that in a moment. Also, on every Monday and Tuesday, well, we've got Hell's Kitchen USA Season 9, which is on... it's weird. Sometimes previous series have had one episode on a Monday, and that's it. Sometimes they've had two on a Monday, just to double bill it to get it out of the way. This year, it's a bit weird. They've got Monday and Tuesday at 9 o'clock, well, one episode apiece, just every week. So you have to wait almost a whole day for the second episode. But it gets to repeat on Thursday night at 11:45 in the evening with a double bill. And there's also Blackout on BBC One Monday at 9 o'clock, which is a drama, and when Daniel Des Moines wakes from an alcoholic blackout to find he's beaten a man within an inch of his life, he begins a dramatic quest for redemption. Starring Christopher Eccleston, Ewan Bremner, Dervla Kerwin, Andrew Scott, Mianna Buring, Lindsay Marshall. The trailer just seems to show... excuse me. The trailer just seems to show Eccleston full of angst, which is often what he can do best, so let's hope it is worth a watch. Some films that are coming up. There's Ghostbusters on Channel 5 at 6 o'clock on Sunday, but don't bother, because Channel 5, they never show it properly. Fantastic film, though. ITV have got Children of Men on Sunday at 10:45, which is a brilliant film, well worth watching. A bit later on, there's The Running Man on Channel 4, also on Sunday, but 11:05pm. And there's a premiere for St Trinian's 2, The Legend of Fritton's Gold, on Sunday, Channel 4 at 7 o'clock. And Oliver Parker and Barnaby Thompson return to direct this sequel, joined once again by Leeds' Rupert Everett, Colin Firth and Tallulah Riley, along with newcomer David Tennant. This time around, the boarding school's anarchic female students discover newly appointed head girl Annabel Fritton and a 16th century nautical ancestor who acquired a rather large treasure trove on the high seas. The girls have one of the keys to finding its location, but also determinedly on the trail of the Spanish loot is a devious and amoral Sir Piers Pomfroy. But Pomfroy is not alone in this desire to stymie the girls' ambitions. They must also deal with a mysterious misogynistic cult who is equally keen to stop them. It stars Rupert Everett, Colin Firth, David Tennant, Gemma Arterton, Tallulah Riley and Tamsin Egerton. And there's also news that there's actually a new channel starting. I think it's on Freeview Channel 47. And I think it's on Freesat as well. But oddly, it doesn't seem to be on Normal Sky. Which is a bit pointless. It's got to come on, I expect. I'll find out for you and let you know next week if it is going to be. Basically, here's the opening evening schedule. It's going to be on daily. And the most days, it's going to sort of open up at 9:15 with Countdown, I think, and then Deal or No Deal. But it's supposed to be, it says it's the best of Channel 4, chopped up, mashed around, and all the rest of it. But I thought the best of Channel 4 was what More 4 was meant to be. But anyway, the opening evening schedule is nothing to write home about, as is my voice going. On the opening day, which is Wednesday, tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock, we have Super Size versus Super Skinny. Number 8, Embarrassing Bodies Live from the Clinic, which is the one that's on the Tuesday night. Number 9, Gordon Behind Bars, because they'll basically, whatever's on Channel 4 one night will be on 4-7, the same time at 9 o'clock the next night. Number 12, Undercover Boss. Number 11, 24 Hours in A&E. So basically what's on 9 o'clock one night on Channel 4 will be on 11 o'clock the same night on 4-7. So you can sort of watch it on Channel 4 at 9, Channel 4 plus 1 at 10, and 11 o'clock on 4-7. 12:05, we've got $6 Million Con Man, True Stories. 1:40, Daredevil's Life on the Edge. 2:40, Jamie's 30-Minute Meals. Obviously a bit shortcut, because at 3:05, less than half an hour, we have Undercover Boss Canada. And at 4 o'clock, the programme you've all been waiting for and staying up all night, Location, Location, Location. What a waste of a channel. It's only a waste of airspace, you know. I'd rather have Film 4 plus 1 on Freeview if they're going to do that, or just give some space over to Channel 5 HD. Anyway, for now, that's everything for this week. So thanks to everyone who's listened, and check out all the trailer links and gaming footage from the Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/DVDFeverShow. And I'll be back next week for some more movies, games and TV on the DVD Fever Show. But we're going to finish off with a song. And I'm going to finish off with a bit of water in a minute. With a song I knew when it first came out and was later used on the soundtrack of Donnie Darko. It's Echo and the Bunnymen and the Killing Moon. Dear Mr. Echo, yes, 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 etc. This is 106.6.
106.6.